Here we go. What's in it for me? Part two of the next 50,000 parts, probably. What's in it for me? Leviticus. What? Oh. You got one more verse to do and we're done. Did that for Sierra. If she's there. I think they are. Hey, Sierra. Just one more verse. It's probably the same thing as you saying, yes, I'm listening, Mom. Probably the same thing. Well, boy, a bunch of travelers we are. Las Vegas, Argentina. Where'd we go? Arizona, Enterprise. Joseph, I got to tell you this, though, for those that didn't hear this, I made reservations at the Holiday Inn at Enterprise the other day over the telephone. I thought we stayed, because they have nice showers, supposedly. Nicer showers than most motels, right? And breakfast, they got the breakfast thing and the whole deal. That would be nice. So we get to Enterprise, and we're driving around. Cannot find this place anywhere. I mean, and according to the map I thought I looked at, it's right around the curve. It should be right where we are. It should be right there. We go back and we park by this one motel, which is a nice one, and the courthouse. So I call him on the phone. Said, I cannot find your place at all. Where are you located? We are right by the courthouse and the Ponderosa. And the lady goes, we don't have a Ponderosa or a courthouse. I don't know what you're talking about. So we're talking a little bit, and I said, I called Enterprise, Oregon. And she says, well, sir, this is Enterprise, Alabama. I made reservations for Holiday Inn at Enterprise, Alabama. I said, well, I can cancel this, right? She laughs. I said, oh, yeah. So anyway. Well, I can't get there by tonight. Sorry, not going to make it. Just listen to the lady. I should have clicked. She's not from Oregon. This is, you know, that's just the way they talk. So if you want me to get you set up for reservations, let me know. I can get you any town you want. Well, here we go. Leviticus. What's in Leviticus for us? Kind of a deal. And there's something in there because it's there. Now let's go to the last chapter, the last verse. We went through Genesis, we went through Exodus. Just generally, and I know there's other things in there, and we know none of this stuff was written to us, so that's not a big deal. But what do we get out of these things? These are just my thoughts, and you can have your own. But Leviticus chapter whatever that is, 27 and verse 34, you get all done with these little things, and there's a bunch of them. Well, there's a lot more than what? A lot more than 10. And it says, these are the commandments which the Lord commanded Moses for the children of Israel in Mount Sinai. Now, it doesn't say on, it just says in. So they still got the full bore somewhere along the line. So what did they get? Let's go back to 01, I suppose. I'm not going to try really hard not to do anything specific as such, but you can't go through a list of laws without specifically talking about some of them. My observation as I read through these things, we talked about this last week, in fact, that these are still, God's still, this is where he stands. He has not changed one iota. But what he has done, he's made it so we don't have to pay the penalty for when we do these things. He hasn't changed his mind at all. And, you know, if you do that with your children, you're going to have a bunch of spoiled little brats. Well, what are we? He's just paid for everything, and we don't even have to look at that stuff and deal with it. But as you read your whole entire Bible from page one to page end, we see that God does not like some things. And if you notice that there are some things in there that we would never do. We'd never do that, not us. But there are some things in there that, oh, he doesn't like that. Well, we do that around our house without any problem. It's just not a big deal. We've never even thought about it. And we find out that we really have taken for granted grace. We just have. If we realize that he doesn't want us to do those things, then we still ought to really try not to do those things. What he did is he made us so we're not going to get punished when we do them. That's grace. But we realize when we read these things that some of those things we've just never even realized that this isn't even something we should be doing. Boy, am I glad I wasn't in the desert with those guys. Because they couldn't do it. So, let's look here just at a few. Now, I also realized that, you know, our nation was founded on a lot of these things. A lot of these things were laws based for our nation, and that's why our country was kind of considered a righteous nation or so. But did you also notice that as time goes on, America's gotten worser and worser? You know, there's things now that America does allow and encourage and sell in the stores. Some things they won't do. But then you fight about it, like capital punishment. You find out that is an Old Testament Levitical thing, and where are we at with that today? There's an interesting thinking's come along that thing. But let's look at these in a minute. Let's go to chapter 18, I guess. I got that one first of all here. There's a bunch of them. Just want to highlight some that are far tougher than we realize. I mentioned this last week, and this is just basically nakedness around the home. 18 verse 6. Pretty detailed. And I don't imagine that most folks in our little church family are into this kind of a stuff, but one never knows, I guess, when you got little children and stuff. But this is home, this is family. But just read this thing. None of you shall approach to any that is near of kin to him to uncover their nakedness. I am the Lord. The nakedness of thy father or the nakedness of thy mother shalt thou not uncover. She is thy mother. Thou shalt not uncover her nakedness. The nakedness of thy father's wife shalt thou not uncover. It is thy father's nakedness. The nakedness of thy sister, the daughter of thy father, or daughter of thy mother, whether she be born at home or born abroad, even their nakedness thou shalt not uncover. The nakedness of thy son's daughter or the daughter's daughter, even their nakedness shalt thou not uncover, for theirs is thine own nakedness. The nakedness of thy father's wife's daughter, begotten of thy father, she is thy sister. Thou shalt not uncover her nakedness. Thou shalt not uncover the nakedness of thy father's sister. She is thy father's, a near kinswoman. Thou shalt not uncover the nakedness of thy mother's sister, for she is thy mother's near kinswoman. Thou shalt not uncover the nakedness of thy father's brother. Thou shalt not approach to his wife. She is thine aunt. Thou shalt not uncover the nakedness of thy daughter-in-law. She is thy son's wife. Thou shalt not uncover her nakedness. Thou shalt not uncover the nakedness of thy brother's wife. It is thy brother's nakedness. Thou shalt not uncover. It just goes on. Thou shalt not uncover the nakedness of a woman and her daughter, neither shalt thou take her son's daughter or her daughter's daughter to uncover her nakedness, for they are near kinswomen. It is wickedness. Well, that's an underliner. Neither shalt thou take a wife to her sister to vex her to uncover her nakedness beside the other in her lifetime. And also thou shalt not approach unto a woman to uncover her nakedness as long as she is apart for her uncleanness. Moreover, thou shalt not lie carnally of thy neighbor's wife to defile thyself with her, and thou shalt not let any of thy seed pass through the fire to Molech. Neither shalt thou profane the name of thy God. I am the Lord. Thou shalt not lie with mankind as with womankind. It is abomination. Neither shalt thou lie with any beast to defile thyself therewith. Neither shall any woman stand before a beast to lie down thereto. It is confusion. Defile not ye yourselves in any of these things, for in all these nations, for in all these the nations are defiled, which I cast before you. And the land is defiled. Therefore I do visit the iniquity thereof upon it, and the land itself vomiteth out her inhabitants. Ye shall therefore keep my statutes and my judgments, and shall not commit any of these abominations, neither any of your own nation, nor any stranger that sojourneth among you. For all these abominations have the men of the land done, which were before you, and the land is defiled. That the land spew not you out also when ye defile it, as it spewed out the nations that were before you. For whosoever shall commit any of these abominations, even the souls that commit them shall be cut off from among their people. Therefore shall ye keep my ordinances, that ye commit not any one of these abominable customs which were committed before you, and that ye defile not yourselves therein. I am the Lord your God. Well, we don't do those things, but just think of these two things here. Pajamas and swimming suits. I'll look at you, LD, because, you know. But isn't that something? Look at where swimming suits have gone. Look what happens when you take your kids swimming. Who's that? Oh, okay, yeah, come on in. Ooh. Oh, there they go. Going around the back door. Like we won't see them come in there. Let's all just stare at them here. Oh, interruption. Come on in, folks. There's room. There's room. Yeah. right in the middle is good because you relax us all when it comes to swimming suits and pajamas around the home. Oh, but see, the payment's been done. It's not a problem because the payment's been made. So that's one. Those are two examples where we take grace for granted. We just do, you know. So we'll leave that one alone. Well, I tell you what, when you go swimming, though, poo, man, I'll tell you, there's, I don't know why they even pay for those things. It costs more for less. That's an interesting thing, too. So, things ought to cost about a nickel. And we're at the beach in San Diego. And these old guys with a gray-haired ponytail and nothing up here, wearing these little band-aids and stuff, it's like, oh, sir, can you not have a mirror at your house? You cannot possibly have a mirror at your house. See, it's not just the ladies in saran wrap. You know, it's the guys out there that think they're cool. Well, I tell you, let's get on with that here. Chapter 19. But now remember, nakedness isn't just nothing there. Biblically, there's more definition to that. Just wearing some short shorts, et cetera, et cetera. Don't forget the biblical definition of nakedness. Okay, 19. Here we go. And verse 1. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto all the congregation of the children of Israel, and say unto them, ye shall be holy, for I the Lord your God, am holy. Well, there's your Old Testament command. That's Old Testament command. I know Paul talks about it, but here these folks have to be. Look at verse 3. You shall fear every man his mother and his father, and keep my Sabbaths. I am the Lord your God. 4. Turn ye not unto idols, nor make to yourselves molten gods. I am the Lord your God. What was one of the problems with Gentiles? What was their golden idol? Gold and silver were their idols. Remember that yet last week? So be not into idols. Look at verse 5. And if you offer a sacrifice of peace offerings unto the Lord, ye shall offer it at your own will. Isn't that interesting? Then he's not going to make you do it, although it sounds to me like he's making them do it because the punishment is horrible. But he says, listen, if you're going to make that, it's your choice. It's just like your parents and your children. You can beat your kids and get mad at your kids and all they're trying to do to make them love you, but you would much rather have them choose to love you based on their own heart. And that's what the Lord... Look at chapter 22, verse 29. There it is again. And when you will offer a sacrifice of thanksgiving unto the Lord, offer it at your own will. That's good. That's what I think. I really believe that's what Paul is all about, is what Christ has done. But now let's just choose to obey me because you choose to obey me. And if you mess up, I'll cover that for you, but I'd sure like to have you choose to do that. Now go back to 19. You know what? Remember when you drop a piece of food on the floor of a restaurant or something, or even in your own house, and you say, we have a 10-second rule, or a 5-second rule, or whatever. If it's there for more than 5 seconds, then you can't have it. Some of us say, you know, 2-hour rule and stuff like that. Look at chapter 19, verse 6. It shall be eaten, sacrifice of peace offerings, etc., etc. It shall be eaten the same day ye offer it, and on the morrow, and if aught remain until the third day, it shall be burnt in the fire. And if it be eaten at all on the third day, it is abominable, it shall not be accepted. So I just looked at that as a 3-day rule. That's not so bad. But look at verse 8. Therefore everyone that eateth it shall bear his iniquity, because he hath profaned the hallowed thing of the Lord. And that soul shall be cut off from among his people. When he did put the hammer down, he really put the hammer down. You kids ever think you're getting a pretty hard beating? Boy, no. That kind of a thing. Okay, look at 9. Just in case you're curious here, chapter 22, verse 30, by the way, there is a 1-day rule. Sacrifice of thanksgiving, you only had 1 day. On the same day, it shall be eaten up. You shall leave none of it until the morrow. That's a 1-day rule. Well, I suppose if you went through this thing, all these different sacrifices have different days, or I don't know. Look it up and see, I suppose. Back to 19. Here's something we sort of kind of do today, but now the law is making it so you can't, if I remember correctly anyway. Leviticus 19, verse 9. And when ye reap the harvest of your land, thou shalt not wholly reap the corners of thy field. Neither shalt thou gather the gleanings of the harvest, and thou shalt not glean thy vineyard. Neither shalt thou gather every grape of thy vineyard. Thou shalt leave them for the poor and stranger. I am the Lord your God. I remember picking potatoes in Idaho. After the crops are all in, and we could go out there and pick some potatoes somewhere. What else have we done? It seemed like gleanings was a big thing back in Minnesota. Onions here, yeah. And now you can't, or there's rules that you're not supposed to. You can't in some places or whatever because they just can't. I suppose insurance. Somebody gets hurt on your property picking onions, greenings, you can get sued, I suppose. I don't know. But that's a neat thing. And here they had to do that. Leave the gleanings. So look at verse 11. I think this is an interesting little add-on. Ye shall not steal. Well, that's true. Neither deal falsely. I'll say it again. Ye shall not steal, neither deal falsely. Don't trick somebody with something. But that's a bad thing. And then, you know, neither lie one to another. 12, ye shall not swear by my name. And we hear people doing that kind of stuff all the time today. Christian guys, preacher guys. Just using his name, totally worthless. His name is holy. Anyway, look at verse 28. I'm kind of parking on 19 here a little bit. We just go through these things. One is, so when you read your Bible, and you read, you know, oh, no, here are the laws. Oh, this is almost as bad as the names in Chronicles. No, these laws are very fascinating to me. Holiness is tough. Now, here we go. Anybody who thinks they're walking the holy walk, please, don't even entertain me with that anymore. We'll be glad to help you. Glad he's ready to help. Oh, I got it together. You know what we're talking about? It's amazing. Pride and conceit. The Lord warns about that. We're looking at 19, verse 28. You shall not make any cuttings in your flesh. Well, there we go, for the dead. But look at the second part. Nor print any marks upon you. Tattoos are cutting. But printing, you can buy those little stick-ons. I got it. It'll wash off tomorrow, Mama. That's okay. It doesn't please God. And that's another reason he died. Now, this is probably a good time, I guess. This stuff can be read with our children. They need to know that without Christ, they can't make it. Because this is what you'd have to do to, you know, get rid of, that's not going to happen. But they need to know that those kind of things are still not pleasing to God. But if I do it, Mom, am I going to get in trouble? From me, yes. From God, no. But that is why Jesus Christ went on the cross. To pay for those things that we aren't supposed to be able to do. Aren't supposed to do. And I think that's interesting. It says, nor print any marks upon you. What if taking notes in the back of your hand counts? I got to be there at 7 o'clock. Okay. Well, it's right. It's printing marks upon you. I bet. Just be glad you're saved. Amen. You know, it's just the way it is. Now you're not going to go to hell because you're breaking these laws. You're going to go to hell because you haven't accepted Christ as your Savior. And that's where the street crowd goes wrong. Or they start bashing people for these kind of things. A guy walks by with a tattoo and 45 Magnum sticking out of his face and everything, and they harass him for that. That's not the point. Yes, that's a wrong thing to do, and besides that, it's abusing your flesh and da-da-da-da. But that isn't what they need. They need to trust the Lord. And the Lord will show them about that stuff eventually. Somebody who's trusted the Lord and knows Jesus Christ as their Savior, and then the whole ball of wax and the whole thing, he can still have that stuff. But it's going to just burn in its permissiveness through God. See what happens when you come late? You don't get your regular place. Jimmy got us though, but that's okay. You're the dad. You can have the same place. Thank you. John, go out there and tell the dog to buzz off.
No, I'm going to lock the door. Oh,
that's good. Maybe. You can remember the door's locked, Marilyn, when you go up to the house quickly. The door's locked. Okay. The laws, I tell you, there's something else. Can't even print them on you. Now look at verse 30. Here's another one. Ye shall keep my Sabbath. Okay, well, we know we hear about that one. 19:30, but look at the rest. And reverence my sanctuary. You don't go in there. Remember my story when I saw the cleaning ladies at the Lutheran church go back there and they put out the eternal flame and moved everything, the cross and everything, and dusted this thing? I was shocked because I was told as a little kid, don't you touch any of that stuff. Don't you walk across that front of that cross, you'll get blinked into purgatory or something. I don't know what this threat was. Don't touch any of this. Reverence the sanctuary. Children were in God's house now, so don't breathe. Kind of a thing. Well, that was the time. Reverence the sanctuary. Look at verse 31. There's not a Christian in the world that ought to have Harry Potter in their house. Well, sure, a lot more than Harry Potter. There's wizard stuff and all sorts of cartoons and stuff today. Fantasia. That's okay. That's Disney. all that stuff. Kids can read these things with their parents to know that they need Christ. Because we can't do it. We just can't pull this off. Regard not them that have familiar spirits, neither seek after wizards to be defiled by them. And he always says, I am the Lord your God. And he wants people to know that he's the Lord their God. How about, let's go to 21. Here's a string. Here's a string for you. Now, chapter 21. Blemishes. You think you got blemishes. Look at what God says are blemishes. Verse 16. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto Aaron, saying, whosoever be of thy seed in a generation that hath any blemish, let him not approach to offer the bread of his God. For whatsoever man he be that hath a blemish, he shall not approach. A blind man, a lame, or he that hath a flat nose. Not my problem. Or anything superfluous. Is that right? Superfluous? Wow. It's just slipped to come out acting properly. Isn't that something? Or a man that is broken-footed or broken-handed. Or a crookback, or a dwarf, or hath a blemish in his eye, or be scurvy, or scabbed, or hath his stones broken. No man that hath a blemish of the seed of Aaron, the priest shall come nigh to offer the offerings of the Lord made by fire. He hath a blemish, he shall not come nigh to offer the bread of his God. He shall eat the bread of his God, both of the most holy and of the holy. Only he shall not go in into the veil, nor come nigh unto the altar, because he hath a blemish, that he profane not my sanctuaries, for I the Lord do sanctify. This is not politically correct. I mean, he bashes dwarfs, handicapped, I mean, they're just not, they're blemished. And he has, look at chapter 22, verse 17, how far do I go? Let's try it. Chapter 22, verse 17. Well, I don't know. Yeah, I guess it's there. I don't know how far, I didn't see how far I should go, though. Oh, I see, I think. Here we go, verse 17. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto Aaron and to his sons and to all the children of Israel, and say it to them, whatsoever he be of the house of Israel or of the strangers in Israel that will offer his oblation for all his vows and for his free will offerings, which they will offer unto the Lord for burnt offering, ye shall offer at your own will a male without blemish of the beeves, of the sheep, or of the goats, but whatsoever hath a blemish, thou shalt ye not offer, for it shall not be acceptable for you. And whosoever offereth the sacrifice of peace offerings unto the Lord to accomplish his vow, or a free will offering in beeves or sheep, it shall be perfect to be accepted. There shall be no blemish therein. Blind or broken or maimed or having a wen or scurvy or scabbed, you shall not offer these unto the Lord, nor make an offering by fire upon them unto the altar of the Lord. Either a bullock or a lamb that hath anything superfluous, there it is again, or lacking in his parts, that mayest thou offer for free will offering, but for a vow it shall not be accepted. How do they keep track of all this stuff? There's no computers, I mean, no little pocket. I wonder if I can do this, because I can't even do that, man. You shall not offer unto the Lord that which is bruised or crushed or broken or cut, neither shall ye make any offering thereof in your land, neither from a stranger's hand shall ye offer the bread of your God of any of these, because their corruption is in them, and their blemishes be in them, they shall not be accepted for you. I think this is for, isn't that something? Man, talk about skin problems. Life problems in those days. Well, I'll cut a numbers. There's tons of stuff in Leviticus. Those are ones that kind of stuck out to me while I was skimming through this thing. And there's a bunch. There's a bunch. Numbers. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers. What's in that for us? I think Numbers is better than Exodus. As far as the wilderness journey goes, there's some details in here that are pretty neat. And you know the one that I am still really interested in, verse 3. For 20 years old and upward. Numbers chapter 1, verse 3. From 20 years old and upward. And this is throughout. Look at verse 20. The children of Reuben, Israel's eldest son, by their generations, after their families, by the house of their fathers, according to the number of names by their poles, every male from 20 years old and upward, all they were able to go forth to war. How old are you, Sam? 15. Enjoy it. Look at verse 32. Towards the back. Same thing. 20 years old and upward, all that were able to go forth to war. I guess when you're 20, you can go to war. When you're 15, you can create wars. But when you're 20, you got to go to one. And in some cases, just stay home. You got one right there. Verse 38. 20 years old and upward. 42. 20 years old and upward. 45. 20 years old and upward. Look at chapter 14. Your carcass, verse 29. Chapter 14, verse 29. Your carcasses shall fall in this wilderness, and all that were numbered of you, according to your whole number, from 20 years old and upward, which have murmured against me. And I'll tell you what, teens murmur. But 20. Went to the Ming Ling Ding Wing Chinese restaurant in Enterprise, and in walks this couple, a husband, wife. Now, just as a mother and a son and a daughter. And that daughter had an attitude from the moment she was in that. She walked in that door, I'm embarrassed to be with my parents. I'm embarrassed to be here. Mom, I can say anything right at all. One of those kind of attitudes. Oh. I think, well, that girl needs a good slapping. And then I just was reminded, do you remember when you would go someplace with your mom and dad? Man, it just took the sting out of my joy of being critical. How were you good when you were? Oh, look at this. Did you ever have an attitude in your teens?
I never.
Never? Think that's why the guys leave the house at 20, because they better get out of there, because now they're accountable. Yeah, whatever. All men here, by the way. Look at verse 30. We do verse 30? Yeah, we did 30. Look at chapter 32. Chapter 32, verse 11. It's all talking about the men, so that's okay. Surely none of the men that came out of Egypt for 20 years old and upward shall see the land. Anyway. Let's go back to chapter 10. Just so you know that 20-year-old thing wasn't just a verse or two. There's a bunch of them. Now, we didn't got to sell the law to our teenagers and stuff, but I'll tell you what, it sure does help. Even God understood how to deal with it. Just kind of whatever. They don't know what they're doing. They don't understand, so just don't hold it against them. Just, you know, whatever. That just fascinates me, though. This fascinates me. I wonder how many people think that that's when you need to get saved now because of that. And then you start, we talked about this before, we think about somebody who professed the Lord when they were younger or teenager or something, they did their thing and they obeyed and they learned and did their stuff, but it never really clicks with them until they're older. I can just think of different kids that I've taught in schools and something hits when they get a little older. What if it isn't around 20? How old are you, ma'am?
A lot older than 20.
But there's a maturity thing that makes you start checking out life more than you did when, because when you're younger, I mean, there's nothing to check out. You know how to do it. you just know how life should. I don't know why my parents don't see it, but I sure do, and all that kind of stuff. It's a very fascinating study for me, this 20-year-old. Anyway, chapter 10. Trumpets are in this thing. Numbers chapter 10. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, make thee two trumpets of silver. Of a whole piece shalt thou make them. Thou shalt mayest use them for the calling of the assembly. And we see a purpose for trumpets here. And it's interesting when it says to me as a trumpet player that it says of one piece. And if you spend the big bucks on a silver trumpet, they're a one-piece trumpet. If you get the cheap trumpets, you get the then they melt, solder the bell onto this trumpet. But a fancy dancy trumpet is a one-piece silver jobber. Big bucks for that. Just everything's in the book somewhere. Somehow. It's an interesting thing here. And verse 4, you know, 3, and when they shall blow with them, all the assembly shall assemble themselves to thee at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And if they blow but one trumpet, then the princes, which are heads of the thousands of Israel, shall gather themselves unto thee. When he blow an alarm, then the camps that lie on the east part shall go forward. When he blow an alarm the second time, boy, they even had to understand the trumpet stuff. See, that's one trumpet. Okay, you can go. I can't have to go. That's just amazing. And they weren't Phil Driscoll with valves and doing the jazz stuff. It was totally a different kind of a trumpet thing, but still. And it goes all the way down here about how to do rules. Now, in Jeremiah, he talks that they don't understand the sound of a trumpet. I think that's how that goes. Probably can't find it in front of people. I don't think it is. Where's the verse in Jeremiah where it talks about the old paths? Anybody just have that in their head?
Well,
very good. 6:16, right there. Thus saith the Lord, stand in the ways and ask for the old paths, for is the good way. Verse 17, I said, watchmen over you, saying, hearken to the sound of the trumpet. But they said, we will not hearken. What's the sound of the trumpet? Numbers 10 tells us all the stuff the trumpet told people. When it's time to charge, what did they play? Or something, you know. And that still went up until these days. I remember reading in the Civil War accounts that a lot of those guys said, we wouldn't have made it through the battle if it wasn't for the band. See, charge, get on. That was good. And just get going. So that's why everybody puts headsets on in their little ears everywhere they go. You just got to hear music. It slows them down nowadays. Oh, how about chapter 11, verse 4? I just kind of picked this out of the deal here. Chapter 11, verse 4. And the mixed multitude that was among them fell a-lusting. And the children of Israel also wept again and said, who shall give us flesh to eat? So then you know the whole story of what's going on there. They're whining about burgers. They don't have enough to eat. And look at verse 10. Then Moses heard the people weep throughout their families, every man in the door of his tent, and the anger of the Lord was kindled greatly. Moses also was displeased. And Moses said unto the Lord, now here's a whine. Wherefore hast thou afflicted thy servant, and wherefore have I not found favor in thy sight, that thou layest the burden of all this people upon me? Have I conceived all these people? Have I begotten them, that thou shouldst say unto me, carry them in thy bosom as a nursing father beareth the sucking child, and unto the land which thou swearest unto their fathers? When should I have flesh to give unto all this people? For they weep unto me, saying, give us flesh that we may eat. I am not able to bear all this people alone, because it is too heavy for me. Well, that is a classic. And then go down in 19. Let's go to 18. saying to the people stuff. Okay, here we go. I'm saying to the people, sanctify yourselves against tomorrow, and you shall eat flesh. For ye have wept in the ears of the Lord, saying, who shall give us flesh to eat? For it was well with us in Egypt. Therefore the Lord will give you flesh, and ye shall eat. Ye shall not eat 1 day, nor 2 days, nor 5 days, neither 10 days, nor 20 days, but even a whole month, until it come out of your nostrils, and it be loathsome unto you. Because that ye have despised the Lord which is among you, and have wept before him, saying, why came we forth out of Egypt? Isn't that something? Have you ever had too much of something that now you don't want it at all? Totally. Tuna fish sandwiches. I've had so much tuna fish that I still like it, but I not like I used to. Story time, LD. I was doing the chapel down in Las Vegas, and we did the church at the first time. I had to start doing my first chapels. In order for me to be comfortable, I had to have the Bible studies at the table. Do you remember this at all? This is at the table. I'm confessing like Moses says. He says up there, where does he say this here? His own wickedness, you know. Yeah, I do not just want to see my own wickedness. And wretchedness, he says. And I had to have, because my Bible study stuff, I had to have 2 peanut butter sandwiches and 2 tuna fish sandwiches and George and Gracie Allen on TV. Little bit of humor, little bit of food, and I could concentrate. Isn't that dumb? And now, I mean, it's just like I've had too much of that stuff. Have you got anything you've eaten too much of? Remember the one where I had a bunch of pizza wings? I got the flu that night. And so, like pizza wings. And then it's a bucket of pizza wings at our school band. And that for years, I cannot even look at another pizza wing. And it comes out the nostrils. Have you ever been so sick? Out the nose, too? How many have done that? Come on, how many have done the nose thing? It's like you can't get it out fast enough. There's got to be another way. And there it comes. See? That's how much he fed them. Can you imagine eating so much that the burgers and everything? Here we go. Again, back to you kids that think your mom and dad punish you hard. And the Lord spake unto Moses and unto Aaron, saying, how long shall I bear with this evil congregation which murmur against me? I have heard the murmurings of the children of Israel, which they murmur against me, saying to them, as truly as I live, saith the Lord, as ye have spoken in mine ears, so will I do to you. Your carcasses shall fall in this wilderness. And all that were numbered of you, according to your whole number, from 20 years old and upward, which have murmured against me. Doubtless we shall not come into the land concerning which I swear to make you dwell therein, save Caleb the son of Jephunneh and Joshua the son of Nun. But your little ones, which ye have said should be a prey, them will I bring in, and they shall know the land which ye have despised. But as for you, your carcasses, they shall fall in this wilderness. And your children shall wander in the wilderness 40 years and bear your whoredoms until your carcasses be wasted in the wilderness. After the number of days in which ye searched the land, even 40 days, each day for a year, shall ye bear your iniquities, even 40 years, and ye shall know my breach of promise. I, the Lord, have said, I will surely do it unto this evil congregation that are gathered together against me in this wilderness. Shall they be consumed, and there they shall die. And the men which Moses sent to search the land, who returned and made all the congregation to murmur against him, are bringing up a slander upon the land. Even those men that did bring up the evil report of the land died by the plague before the Lord. But Joshua the son of Nun and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, which were of the men that went to search the land, lived still. And Moses told these sayings unto all the children of Israel, and the people mourned greatly. And I think of that whole thing, thinking, boy, that is just terrible. But you know how we as adults choose to make the choices we make, and we made some bad ones, and we taught some wrong things, da-da-da-da. Our lives are a mess. We hope our children do better. How much of that rubs off onto them? And this is still the same type of thing. God puts it, I give them the stuff, but they're also going to wander for 40 years, those children. And our kids are going to pay for what we're messing around with. Not because God's going to put it on, it's just reality. Yes, that's a sad thing, I suppose. And I guess we better stop here. Oh, there's some good stuff here. Oh, well, okay, we'll stop that one, Lord. Oh, those were the days. It's funny. It's just interesting for me to hear that stuff again. A lot of that nervous laughter stuff, because you know we were into some stuff. Okay, let's just make some comments here at the end, for example, here. Now, we're looking at the law. And if we go to Romans, where should we go for verses when we're advertising Dyers or hamburgers? Where do you go if you want to talk to people about what the law means to us today? You know, you can go to Galatians. Sure, let's go to Galatians chapter 3, and there's still a purpose for the law. The law was our school teacher, school master, to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. So then, I made that statement. You know, if people try to go by the law, they'll find out that they need Christ. Well, now we got people who say they have Christ, but they don't think they need to do anything that pleases God. Or they need to do something back to the law. Now, what we end up with are these religious people. This is a form of godliness. And go to Acts. I think it's 13. Go to Acts 13. These are some of the biggest enemies that Paul's teachings have. And that's in Acts 13:50. But the Jews stir up the devout and honorable. See, that's because they're walking the law. Devout and honorable women and the chief men of the city. So you've got these people that are doing the law. And people that want to go by the law, whether it be the Old Testament law, whether it be the gospel law, they truly think that they're walking the way of God. But let's go to Matthew 22. We have to remember that, yes, the way of God is the Old Testament. There's no doubt about it. Matthew 22:16 is where Jesus is being told, verse 16, and they set out unto him their disciples with the Herodians, whatever, saying, Master, we know that thou art true and teachest the way of God in truth. So, Jesus, you know, he's fulfilling the law, so he's teaching the way of God. Do we need to follow the way of law, the way of God? No, because we go to Acts chapter 18, and here's a Jewish guy, a Jewish fellow, who was very good with the way of God. Acts 18, verse 25, this man, Apollos, 24, now let's just read 24. And a certain Jew named Apollos, born at Alexandria, an eloquent man and mighty in the scripture, see, up to that point, it was the way of God, came to Ephesus. This man was instructed in the way of the Lord, which is the way of the God. You know, now that they know Jesus is, you know, they understand that part of it. And being fervent in the spirit, he spake and taught diligently the things of the Lord, knowing only the baptism of John. And he began to speak boldly in the synagogue, again, to the Jews, whom when Aquila and Priscilla had heard, they took him unto them and expounded unto him the way of God more perfectly. It doesn't mean, you know, more right, more perfect. It means more finished. There's more to the way of God now. This is to the Gentiles now. There's the different teachings now. Remember that there is no New Testament until the death of the testator. So now that the testator is gone, there's a new testament. There's new doctrine. This is what, that's the way of God, more perfectly. There's more to it now. It's more complete. So while we still read the law and we still understand what God doesn't like, and again, we apply those strings, because we didn't have to do any of that stuff. You can go bumping up and down the beach, whatever, but it's still going to cause somebody to stumble. It's still not expedient. It doesn't edify. You're doing it because of the flesh. You just, because you're, you know, the old standard statement is, it's hot. And it's a power over you. You just, we're such weaklings today as Christians. Okay, but let me ask this question. I hope the sound is working. If we heed to the law here, to what pleases God according to Leviticus and all this stuff, will God heal our land? Second Chronicles. I mean, that's where people go. Or the First Chronicles. I never understand that one. The 7:14 though. I think it's 2 Chronicles. I'm going to look up 1 Chronicles. See, it's right. It's 2 Chronicles 7:14. This is where people go. 7:14? Yeah. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray, there you go, and seek my face, there you go, and turn from their wicked ways, there you go, follow the law, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. So we got Christians that are claiming this verse all over the place, expecting God to heal the land. If we go back to the old paths. So this is all the old paths. Is this what it takes to heal this country? Well, of course not. Of course not. Of course not. Of course not. We want the way of God more perfectly. Now there's more going on here. Christ went to Paul. Christ went to Paul to the Gentiles. And he gave stuff to the Gentiles that the Jews never had. But they could have. And he's doing it to make them, jealous as such. Now, let's go to Romans. Great verses in Romans. Romans chapter 10. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness. It's not the end of the law. It still exists for the lost. To show that they need Christ. But for Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. Because Christ fulfilled the law. Without sin. And when they killed him, he took his blood up to God, paid the price, and then came back down. So now what do? Do we try to be the holy, the honorable, and devout women? Do we try to be the hotshot guys that are doing the right thing? Look at Thessalonians chapter 4. Let's stick with Romans here. Okay, so now that we know that the law has been taken care of for the Christian, for the believer, we see in Romans chapter 7, verse 20, because we still do stuff wrong. At least I do. I don't know about you guys. But see, Paul says, now if I do that, I would not. It is no more that I do it, but sin that dwelleth in me, which is why we have to be cut away from the flesh. There's still sin in us. Our flesh is still possessed by the devil, even. I mean, that's sin. But we're cut away from that flesh. Romans chapter 6 tells us how Christ took care of sin. And the second half of Romans chapter 6 tells us how we should make choices to keep away from, doing the wrong thing, from sinning. But if we do something, it's our flesh that's doing it. It's a sin that's in us. If we go to Romans chapter 6, verse 22, we see that we're made free from sin. Not sinning, from sin. It's just not there. If we go to chapter 5, verse 13, for until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed when there is no law. So why doesn't Christ impute the things we do wrong? There's no law. Same thing in chapter 5. In chapter 5, verse 15, because the law worketh wrath, for where no law is, there is no transgression. So what do? Well, we go to Romans chapter 2, verse 16, and we see that our judgment seat of Christ will be based on what Jesus Christ taught to Paul. In the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ, he's the judge, no doubt, according to my gospel. My gospel is Paul. So then how do we please God today? Go back and do the Levitical law and all that stuff? No. Look at 1 Thessalonians. Chapter 4, verse 1. Furthermore, then we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as ye have received of us, that's Paul and his guys there, how ye ought to walk and to please God. And Romans chapter 8 again tells you that you can't please God if you're still in the flesh. Romans chapter 8, verse 8. They that are in the flesh cannot please God. And that doesn't mean that you're doing something fleshy. It means that are you still attached to your flesh? Are you still in your flesh? So I hope you follow that little line of thinking there. It's not tricks. It's not a trick to come up with that stuff. It's just what the Bible says. So I guess you can go to the beach. No, wait. It causes some people to stumble. What does Paul say about that? I'm glad you asked. Let's go to Timothy. What does Paul say about nakedness? Oh, Paul's even worse. He says to be modest in modest apparel with shamefacedness. Don't even go to that. Shamefacedness. Shamefacedness means modesty beyond. Look it up. That means you don't just wear, you know, you're beyond what is. What's the line today? Well, there's just very little. Remember, I said that the swimsuits cost about a nickel. That was probably that was 2000. That would have been 2009. I think I did that one. Or seven, I don't know. Boy, they're down to about a penny now. They could hand you the material, use it for ear Q-tips, but they have left the material. But what about those Christians who are covering most? That's not shamefacing. We live in a sexual society. Thank you, Hugh Hefner. And now, guys think even a lot worse than they ever did. And women are out there to do what they're doing by showing. And they just think, well, you guys, you got a problem. No, you're causing me to stumble. Why do you think they wore suits in those days and great ladies wore 15 skirts and or 15 petticoats or whatever and a big bundle skirt? And guys had on the suits and ties and the whole bit. They were very modest. They were hot, too. Look at the people working on the fields. It's not all Green Acres wearing a tie, but a lot of them did still. Anyway, the whole thing, the law, what Paul teaches. And I'm afraid that there are people that miss the joy of what Paul teaches about doctrine, and they turn Paul's teachings into the law. And that still isn't the case. Those are the things that we can do to please God. But it's not the law. Keep in mind, Christ doesn't judge our works today, good or bad. So if he's not going to judge them for good, give us a blessing. If he's not going to judge us for bad and chastise us, why not? Because that's what the judgment seat of Christ is all about. It's too simple. So what happens when we're doing something that we shouldn't do? Well, we still quench the Spirit. It still bothers the Spirit to have to be in us because he can't leave us. He's sealed in us. He's sealed in us, so he has to hear the music that we hear. He's sealed in us, and he knows that you're not covered enough. And if you're sticking in your Bible, he'll tell you. He'll remind you. You know, you shouldn't be doing that. But see, if you stand on that Bible long enough, you'll justify it. You'll justify where you go. You'll justify your music. You'll justify everything that a year ago you didn't justify. You tried to fight it. Got to stay in the book to stay strong. If you don't stay in the book, you're going to give up. And you might not even know you're giving up. Okay, there's one of the sermons on the law. What's in there for us? Oh, that's the way of God. But we have Christ. And now we want the way of God more perfectly.